Ananda Christ, don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy passers by, cause I want to be anarchy. That's your cue. Anarchy for the UK. It's coming sometime, maybe. Make a wrong sign, stop a traffic line. Your future dream is just a shopping scheme.
Oh, that's right, I do.
I want to be.
Yeah, well, it's pretty easy to do. You just go to the picture there.
We take it to the bridge.
Well, you know you got your avatar.
Well, the arriving into America, the choice of the new avatar.
So you might feel a bit sad.
Yeah, though I think it took about 20 seconds, but yeah.
Soon.
The last nose job I had took about 20 seconds decision. I just picked one out of the book, and boom.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got punched in the face. Last nose job I got, it took like 4 seconds, tops.
3 words out of my goddamn mouth. The ukulele.
So, how you doing? What's going on?
Much, man. I'm in the new Vitamix world.
You got yourself a Vitamix.
Got myself a Vitamix.
That's where it's at. Oh, cool. So you were planning on getting a juicer, and then you listened to Alan and my advice.
Absolutely.
Cool.
There's cool. There's so many more capabilities with the Vitamix.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I juicing's really great, but there's all, like you said, there's all that pulp and everything. It's nice to just, like, take it all. You can put a fucking, like, just for me on a basic level, the fact that I can just, like, cut an orange into two and then toss it in there and just have, like, the rind in with it, because most of the nutrients of the orange are around inside the rind, like what you don't normally eat. And so you throw that into a Vitamix, and it's true with, like, you know, all kinds of things. Like, you just, like, people are like, I eat kiwis with the skin, you know, but not everybody likes to eat the skin. But if you throw a whole, you don't need to peel a kiwi anymore. You just toss it in there, and most of the nutrients of the kiwi are in the skin. So it's just, those are a couple examples. But the fact that you can just throw some of the things in there that you can is just incredible.
It's like adult baby food on a certain level.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. I mean, I love breast milk. It's almost worth getting your girlfriend pregnant just so you can have breast milk.
That's going to be one hell of a campaign by the, who is it? The Surgeon General?
Yeah. Amy has like, 2 friends that have just had babies, and I don't know, like, it's not appropriate for me to ask them for some extra breast milk. But, man, that shit is fucking where it's at. I don't know when the last time you had breast milk was, but it's definitely it's pretty good.
It's been about 35 years, I think, and it was very important in my development, I believe. So I imagine throwing an ounce or two instead of wheatgrass, throw a little breast milk into the Vitamix. You got yourself a potent potion there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's where it's at.
Now, the problem is with me right now is I basically just decided for the first few days just to absolutely wing it and just mess around with vegetables and fruits. And the first 2 concoctions have not necessarily been even remotely gourmet. But I'm feeling like I feel pretty good post smoothie. They basically have been like a brownish orange color with flecks of green, and it just basically tastes like watered down baby food, I imagine. But I'll have to keep track of the energy and health benefits for the rest of the day. I'll work up to creating delicious as well as healthful smoothies down the road.
Well, do you take maca and Vitamineral Green and... Like
I have no maca. I don't know. Is that Paul McCartney? Has he got a thing?
Oh, maca's. What is maca from? I forget what maca is from, but it's a plant, but I mean, I don't know what part of the plant they use, but it's a maca plant. You get it as a powder. So like, it's so fucking good. It tastes good. And it's like you can feel it work on you like right away, like energy wise, like it's a huge energy rush. It's awesome. And, Vita Mineral Green is just like, you know, crushed. Oh, hold on 1 second. Thank you. It's like, it's a food product. I mean, it's not actual, like, you can't say it's medication because it's literally ground up food, but, it's incredible. I highly, highly, highly recommend, especially Vita Mineral Green. I was taking cordyceps in smoothies for a long time, which are the mushrooms that grow out of the head of, what is it, ants in the Amazon.
Well, what?
Do you know about that?
Mushrooms that grow out of the heads of ants?
Yeah, it's like it's actually a really odd thing in nature. It's an example of like documented mind control by a
by a plant substance,
a fungus. And so I think they get infected from caterpillars, I believe, and then it basically makes them feel the necessity to reach the highest ground possible, so they go to the highest place they can, and then where they die, and it emerges from like their equivalent of their pineal gland, basically. But you can get them. I mean, people are using them to kill termites in their houses because, you know, it kills the creature, but it's like extremely beneficial for human beings to take. So I took that for close to a couple years regularly, and that's good stuff.
They probably don't sell that at my local grocery store.
They might if you have a health food store. If you have a health food store.
How do you spell it, or what is it called again?
Cordyceps. So, I don't know. I know there's a Y in there. It's like, I think that might be at the end, cordyceps. Yeah, you can watch a video of it too, like a nature video of when it happens to the ant. It's really trippy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. That's pretty... But you know, nature is mind blowing. Once you start to study it, so.
Yeah, literally. So, I tried to contact 4 people this morning, and I should have tried to contact them earlier. Though it looks like they wouldn't have been available anyway. But I tried to get people that I know personally on the show who are way into synchronicity matters, and I'm just like, what am I doing not having these people on, like? So I reached out to them, but then all of them are like next week. And so one of them will probably be next week if we don't have another guest.
Did you reach out to Alan Green? Do we know where Alan is?
I don't know where Alan is. Well, you could reach out to Alan, but he generally, if he's there, he'll reach out to you.
Correct. So. But he is a busy gentleman, and I imagine... either he's catching up on much-deserved sleep, or he's at work. He'll probably pop in. There he is. All you have to do is invoke Alan Green's name, and he's right by, in spirit or in matter.
It's the word pop in regards to him, because that's the... that was like a sinkhole thing for a while, the pop.
Oh, that was a big sinkhole thing.
Yep. All right. Well, I don't know. We could be that radio show that just like surprises people with the phone call. Get Mark LeClaire or Jason Barrera on here with a surprise visit.
And always record wacky wake up call.
It'd be better, like, you know, with radio shows when you had the phone phenomenon. So and everyone can hear if they're picking, you know, exactly what it is when they pick up and they don't know who's calling. See, that's where it's at.
That's where you get the name of the celebrity when they check into the hotel, and you have some loyal fan who figures out the false name that they're under, so you can go call and get Jenny Cucumbers, and it's actually Britney Spears, you know. So
Alan says I'm here. He has the poltergeist. Okay. then there were three?
And then there were three.
Cool.
All right. Still see dots, but I hear you.
I don't anymore.
Hey, my call recorder's working.
Cool.
How about that?
Pretty classic.
It is pretty classic.
Oh, that's not. That was going to be my next question. Was did you need me to record?
We're back to full capabilities here in Chicago.
Back in business.
Slightly nasally today, Mr. Allen.
Oh yeah.
Maybe a little tired, maybe. Mistaken, because you don't sound that much. Like
I just
that.
Moved my microphone away from my nose and towards my mouth.
That might be what it is. I don't. Well, I was telling Bill that I this morning tried to contact a number of people to see if they could that I know personally that are into synchronicity that could jump on, but it looks like that's not happening. So I guess it's the three of us, unless if we want to like surprise somebody with a phone call.
Well, there's actually a few things I want to quickly lay down. I don't know if you guys had already started talking about stuff, but there's a few quick notes I wanted to throw out here.
Yeah.
Go for it.
First two are just follow-ups from last week's conversation. One is that you... David, I sent you this message on Facebook, but you mentioned in last week's show, I was re-listening to it, and you mentioned the idea of with the Revolver Lucifer Rising combo that in your timing the line pennies on your eyes would come up as Lucifer Rising the title appears on the screen. And you were connecting this to Mercury because of the idea of like coins and merchants and things like that, Mercury being associated with
the thief specifically.
Right.
So, and then you have the tax man as the thief, and you better glue your pennies to your eyes so the tax man doesn't take them.
Does he say glue? I thought he says declare, like when it comes to, like you would declare income for taxes. I believe he says declare the pennies on your eyes.
That's what he says. I mean, I haven't looked at the lyrics, but I thought it was that because they rest the pennies on your eyes and that he would literally take them off. But either way.
I believe he's saying, yeah, you put the someone puts pennies on your eyes, you have to declare that as income. You just made two more cents.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get taxed on that.
Right, even though you're dead. So it's
right.
It's really funny.
So, yeah, I believe that's actually what he's saying. But regardless, I mean, I thought what your connection to Mercury was solid, but it occurred to me that there's something even more here is that pennies, at least traditionally, not anymore, now they're made of zinc, but pennies traditionally are copper. And copper is the alchemical metal associated with Venus, which is Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
So if he says pennies, just as you see Lucifer on the screen... it's almost like declaring copper Venus, and then here's, Bill just wrote in, yeah, you looked at the lyrics, it is declare. Yeah, but you get what I'm saying, is that you would have the, he would be calling out pennies or copper, the copper, and this would be announcing Venus Lucifer on the scene, and that's when the title would come up.
Right, and it's because the tax man is the 1%. See.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
It's also like a penny is one of 100, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that brings us to Inspector Gadget, which is Go-Go Gadget 777, all of that. But that penny is his sidekick. So I don't know.
Jesus.
Interesting. Yeah, I like also that when it says it, the title Lucifer Rising, I almost said Mercury Rising. Lucifer Rising is actually rising up through the screen, which is just interesting. It's funny. I was actually I was studying last week. I was coming across this whole thing around writing in the first place, and it's funny because it's kind of complicated. But I just was talking back and forth with this guy, the guy who sent us the thing, Scott's Prometheus, and let's see. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on where I was going with that because I jumped around in my head too quickly, too much.
Megatherion or the Titan. This is the guy who was saying that in Prometheus, in the movie Prometheus, they say they're a certain distance from Earth, but that would actually only put them out around Jupiter.
Yeah, well, actually, just let me really quickly, just it'll only take me a second to go to the message. So, oh, Jim Jamal, or JML, anyways, he was bringing up to me this whole thing of, he was asking, so Tenen, Stan Tenen, do you know who that is? He's this...
Sure, yeah.
A Kabbalist, and he wrote a new book, and he was asking me about this part where he's talking about the dodecahedron being a gateway to the fourth dimension, and he gives me the page number, and I read it, and I don't exactly know what he means by it, but basically I figured out that the way that he's expressing that is by there being five cubes within the dodecahedron, which I don't quite understand. I mean, I know that you can get the main cube out of the dodecahedron here. Let me show you a link here really quickly. But we're going into this, and then it just so happened that right before he sent me this message, I received Stargate in the mail through my Netflix. And so Amy had never seen it, and so we watched Stargate, and, you know, that's the whole premise when he has the seventh point of the cube of space, and he's like, this is the... you know, the transcendent point. So how they get from point A to point B is through the, which would be in this case, the seventh point, depending on how you turn it. So then you have Metatron. When I was studying, I was going to this whole thing with writing and the idea of writing as it comes up in general a lot, but there's that part in Stargate where they're writing on the sand and they cover it up and they're like, oh no, no, no. And so he actually said here, which I thought was funny, that he says, notice the scene in Stargate when the villager draws a letter in the sand and then someone covers it up in case it offends the gods, i.e. because the letters are the cast shadows of the secret 4D physics that the gods use to stay in control. And I really like that. I thought that was a good interpretation of it. And so Thoth invented writing. And so you have Thoth is Mercury, obviously. And so I like the idea that, first of all, the letters are magic, that, you know, that in the first place, like, to spell is to cast a spell, and that, you know, grimoire is grammar, and grammar comes from grimoire. And so I like the idea that just the act of writing is like Lucifer. And so for Lucifer rising to be rising up, it's like, I saw that, the connection between Lucifer and Hermes in that way, and that to even write, if the gods are false gods, you know, if they're people masquerading as gods, the difference being, like, you know, to the Most High, as opposed to, like, you know, people who are projecting that, that of course writing is like, it's hard to explain, but it seems like Hermes or Thoth is like, for the people, I mean, it's a way that power is put on the people, like the way power is maintained, the power structure is maintained through the writing, through a secret language that only the elite know, and then that the people having that, it's like they're then like Lucifer because they're rebelling against.
Sure, yeah, yeah. It's the same. This brings us back to Prometheus. Prometheus brings fire to man, and Thoth, Hermes, Mercury brings writing to man.
Right.
He's bringing the power of the gods to man that the gods don't want man to have.
Right. And so, therefore, you know, for it to be rising, for Mercury rising or Lucifer rising, it's, you know, Prometheus fell. And so it's the back ascent, I guess you could say, you know. So,
is Twitter like one giant Mercury retrograde? We're losing our ability to write.
Totally. I like your comment, Bill. I am... What was it? Hear me tweet? What was...
I am Android. I am Android. Hear me tweet.
Good. It reminds me of C-3PO as the masculine equivalent of Maria in Metropolis.
Yes, I love that.
Hear me tweet. Oh, he doesn't.
Can you change the world with one tweet?
The tweet that was heard around the world.
I imagine that you can. I mean, 140 characters, I think you can blow the whistle on something, or you can start a chain of events.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently a butterfly can do that, too. So.
And it's weird that you were saying Mercury Rising in connection to Lucifer Rising, because this is the third time I've heard the term Mercury Rising in the last, I don't know, 36 hours. The first time was an article connecting movies discussing the NSA and sort of like movies from the past that incorporated the NSA as a nefarious, you know, part of the plot or whatever. And then last night I was flipping through local channels and the movie that was going to be on at 9 o'clock was, of course, Mercury Rising. And then, of course, this morning you mentioned Mercury Rising. And with the NSA being in the news so much, I kind of wanted to hear your two thoughts regarding that agency. A lot of people seem to believe that it's basically, especially with the whistleblower case, what's the guy's name? Snowden?
Correct, yes.
He's 29 years old. He's barricaded in a hotel room in France, is it?
Oh, I didn't hear that part. He's barricated himself.
Yeah, he's barricaded just enough to have a full article describing his hotel room and all the things that he's dealing with as he's barricaded in this hotel room, which just is goddamn absurd. It might not be Paris. It might be, I don't know. It's Hong Kong. He's in Hong Kong is where he is. But anyways, you know, this notion that the government is... Well, we know they're not listening to Always Record. They would have donated, I believe.
Well, I think they have a similar mandate, don't they?
I think they do. We might be just a touch brainwashed. Or maybe I'm an agent. I don't even know.
This was your idea, Bill. It's funny because there's two ways we can go with the Mercury thing, and they're both the three topics I wanted to bring up. We can go either way with this. I want to just because I don't know if we'll ever come back to it. I just want to hold off on the NSA thing 1 second. Just spit out a quick line.
Not a problem.
So in our other one of our other mailbag pieces, where we talked about cars. It occurred to me that Mercury was very prominent in that as well. It was where he's talking about Lightning McQueen and all these things, and we talk about the idea of the cup with the wings, could be the Caduceus, all this sort of stuff. But he asked, in that email, he asks a question about the double King Kill, and I realized I never addressed that part of it. And it occurred to me that, I mean, first off, the idea of a double King Kill is pretty much the reason, one of the main reasons why I'm calling it Suicide Kings, is because there's always this interplay between this sort of twin figures or these mirror images of each other. And so that's why it's like when one kills the other, it's almost like they're killing themselves. You know, James Earl Ray, which Ray is King, kills Martin Luther King. You have Barack Obama killing Osama, and then we have this whole idea of them playing with their names and all this sort of stuff, you know, where people are misreporting the names. Just the list goes on and on and on and on, that there's this weird double angle. Even in JFK, there's a little more complicated way I would explain it, but you even have, like, the conspiracy researchers have found this idea of the two Oswalds. So you have that there's actually two Oswalds. it's just there's a lot to go into, but you have you know, the two Kennedy brothers being killed. You have JFK and JFK Jr. Where JFK Jr. dies on the same on this day that James Shelby Downard had connected to JFK's death. That he kept he said for years and years and years that JFK's death was connected to what is it, July 16th, and that's the day JFK Jr. ends up dying many years later. So there's this there's always this idea of like the other, like this and this, that there's always this sort of doubling effect, and I wanted to address that. But I realized that in Cars specifically, not only do you have that happen, but you have this other idea of the double, which is very much an idea of a male and a female. And this is the idea of Hermes Mercury, right? This the combination, the divine hermaphrodite, the combination of the male and the female. And I thought it was interesting that you have the long-standing contender is called the King, and then the other car is called Lightning McQueen. And you have this idea of it's actually also a guy. I think it's voiced by Owen Wilson, but you have that he's a man, but his name is Queen. So he is both male and female. You have the truck that he meets that's named Mater, which is a feminine word. We connected it to matter, but it's also Mater, like maternal and things like that. So we have in all these characters, we have this sort of hermaphroditic element to them. And I just wanted to point that out as that's not only an aspect of this doubling, but an aspect of Mercury.
Yeah. So I had an interesting chain of thoughts while watching Oz the Great and Powerful that I didn't get. I mean, how many times have I watched Dark Side of the Rainbow? And I never really stopped and considered the, okay, so, you know, in Alice in Wonderland, she steps through the mirror to go to Wonderland, which is underground. So it's the underworld, right? And there's this whole thing of the descent. But that in The Wizard of Oz, all the characters that she's interacting with are the characters from the, you know, quote, real world. And so I was considering that if something happens in Oz, then that is reflected in the real world because it's a parallel. Like the way that you're supposed to take it is just like, oh, she's dreaming and she's taken these characters from her waking life and brought them into her unconscious state, and just showing that the dream world is a reflection on that level. But I was also considering if you consider Oz as like kind of like the unconscious substratum. That's like a simultaneous reality. That's like a parallel world. That to make a change in the parallel world would necessitate a change in you know the our you know this level of reality. And so you could look at it like there could be like on a conspiratorial psychedelic level that there's these like you know assassins like Oz assassins that if you want to take someone out you take them out. You know, in the undernetting of the reality, and then you affect change on that level. It's kind of a strange, weird thought.
No, I agree with that. Actually, 100%. There's a lot of evidence for that in my research, and then there's like I've talked about this idea that just as an example, like Barack Obama, I feel like. Now, again, we can argue whether this is intentional or not, but he's playing with these – he's really playing up an archetype so strongly. And I have to wonder if that's his choice or his handler's choice or what it is. But it would sort of lead to that where I said, you know, there's the concept of suicide by cop. It's almost like Barack Obama's playing suicide by archetype where he – you know, constantly being compared to the Jesus Messiah figure. Well, what happens to Jesus? When he was running for president and becomes president, he's getting compared to Lincoln, JFK, and Martin Luther King. Well, what do those three fuckers have in common? when he takes his oath for president, this second time around, he used two Bibles. One was Lincoln's Bible, and one was Martin Luther King's Bible. And it's like constantly playing with these martyr archetypes, and I have to wonder if that's, you know, whether that's an unconscious expression of almost the need to play out that role, or if this is, you know, some handler's sort of, you know, if you're an intelligence agency that wants to stay removed from your thing that can't be traced back to you, do you just kind of keep putting this ethereal idea out there, hoping someone makes it a reality? There's multiple ways you can go with that, but you realize that if Oz is very much a reference to Australia, and we call Australia the land down under. So it's the idea that Oz is very much an underworld as well. It's the land down under is the underworld. And this idea that she goes through and can change things in one side. Did you guys ever play, this is kind of an obscure geeky thing, but did you ever play, there was a Zelda game for Super Nintendo? I don't know what it would have been called other than there was like one Zelda game for Super Nintendo.
I've seen it. I at some point did witness that. I don't think I played it much. I didn't have a Super Nintendo, but I had friends who did. Anyway.
I was always like 5 years behind on gaming things, so like after everyone had moved on to PlayStation is when I bought a used Super Nintendo. Really amazing game, actually, as I recall. One of the things that really stands out to me is there's this idea that's basically how the game works. You're playing the first half of the game, you're playing on this map and all these different things that you have to do and blah, blah, blah. And then eventually you get this, I think it's a mirror, like this magic mirror that allows you to transport into the other world, like the mirror, the dark mirrored reality. And it's like the exact same map, but everything's slightly off. And it's a fascinating concept. And there are times where like you might come to a wall and you can't get to the other side of the wall, but then you travel over into the other world, and in that world, that wall is like collapsed. So then you can walk, you know, that extra 5 feet and then go back to the world A, and now you're on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the wall, excuse me. There's this concept that it's weird how much that video game laid out for me a pretty solid model of how, almost what you're saying, how that could work. And I've thought about that many, 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 many times. Not just in the reference of this video game, but it's a good sort of visual example if someone's familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating concept, yeah. It's definitely a fascinating concept. What does what happens in the Matrix or in the Dream or in Oz or in Wonderland
stay in Oz? what happens in Oz doesn't stay in Oz.
Right.
What happens in Vegas doesn't really stay in Vegas.
Absolutely. Bullshit. Yeah, you know, guess what? If you get VD in Vegas, it doesn't stay there.
That's true.
Your money stays there.
That's true.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's what's happening, man. Hey, in MK Ultra, MK stands... What does MK stand for?
It doesn't stand for anything. It's just a designation.
But essentially, like people go with, like, mind control, right?
Yeah, with a K. Mind control with a K.
But really, mind control is with a C, so the Lightning McQueen is like an MK Queen. It's... That side of him is being controlled on some level. It's locked in. Is there any connection there?
Well, how about this? How about the fact that in Pythagorean numerology, right, which is where you just take the letters A through I is 1 through 9, and then J starts back at 1, and then go the same. So MK is 42.
Boom.
So that's something I've thought about for a long time. Everyone goes, every time, when I was really into conspiracy, everyone's going, 42, 42, 42. I'm like, MK, MK, MK?
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
MK Ultrasound, that never occurred to me. That's awesome.
But if you consider that he's Lightning McQueen, the Lightning 42 would be a Kotzian Zeus reference, right? The 42 that casts the lightning bolt.
Yeah, there's a whole really strange idea equating the Chetzonim with the pantheon itself, because anything that's not like that, basically the archetypes, as far as we're concerned in our mind's relationship to them and in thought form, that is literally quote unquote the outside ones, right? So the you know, what's the demons or whatever you want to call them that have taken over the tree, like a virus or whatever, but that's literally the pantheon of the gods, which is really interesting then if you think of Mercury then would translate to like Lucifer in that sense. You know, it's kind of cool. There's an idea in Kabbalah that gets proposed rarely, but it does get proposed, that it's actually what I resonate with, that all our perceptions are actually the outside ones. So we're never actually seeing, I mean, it's across the board, they say we don't see reality, but to take it as that they're literally like, you know, shifting our perceptions. Like in the way that if you have a parasite and you feel like you want cheese and you're like, I want cheese, and it's really that the parasite wants the cheese, that same idea is like dictating our perceptions. Like, we want to see this because this influencing force wants to see this, and so we see it, you know. Kind of weird, but
oh, definitely. You know, there's I think David, you and I have talked about, there's a parasite that actually can take over an ant's brain. have you seen this? It's like basically the parasite takes over the ant's brain, and the ant like climbs to the, you know, the top of a tree or the highest point it can reach, and basically just stands there. It just, you know, it's like completely mind controlled. Takes over the nervous system. The ant climbs to the highest point, stands there, and then this shit grows out of the top of his head, and like it spurts out spores or whatever, so that it's basically, since the spore can't climb to the high point, it takes over the nervous system of an animal with legs.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before you came on.
Oh, really?
No, just by coincidence. So Bill just got Vitamix, and I was recommending that he get cordyceps. And so I was telling him about cordyceps, which I took for like 2 years. So I took the mushroom that pops out of the ants' heads for quite a while, regularly. And energetically, it's great. I love it. I recommend it to anybody.
Does it make you want to climb a mountain?
Yeah. Yeah, just like a very it's similar to ginseng in certain ways. Like I can feel the I can compare it probably closer to ginseng than most things, but it boosts the immune system like crazy. It's really good for mental focus, but it's different for human beings to take, obviously, than ants. I recommend it. I think it probably went up in price since it's been more popularized, because this was like maybe 8 years ago or so that I was taking it. It's awesome.
So, Bill, you got a Vitamix.
London.
Yeah. Pretty nice, huh?
Pretty nice, not very tasty right now. I don't really, I haven't been following recipes. I'm just throwing shit in there and whipping it up. Feels good now, but going down, it's a pretty rough venture right now.
Oh, you'll get it. You'll start to.
Yeah. I figure now that I kind of get what it does and I'm sort of starting from square one, yeah, give me a couple of years. And no, I'll have my shit down soon.
Oh, not even. We've only had ours for, a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. Melissa's saying we haven't even had it a week. See, I have no sense of time. There's so much that you can do with it. There's a way to make things super tasty and then get your different settings so you get the different textures you want. Like one of the things that's appealing to me, I actually haven't tried yet, but is like I had read different things about the health benefits of eating the avocado pit, but there's only a few ways that you can eat it. But a Vitamix will actually process an avocado pit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's power.
Yeah. There's certain things you can push it. You want to be a little careful because, you know, if something's too hard, it fucks it up. But that could work. I never heard of that.
No, I actually spoke to a Vitamix sales rep. That was one of my deciding factors.
Like you can cut up a fucking avocado pit.
Yeah. Like, you get to process it. So
nice.
Rad.
I never tried that. That's awesome.
They said it has a bitter taste, so you might want to, you know, cover up that taste with other stuff in your mix, but you can get it in there.
Yeah.
Awesome. So regardless, I'm going to give you a quick recommendation of something I just made yesterday and I am so fucking addicted to. Take look at your pinky. That top joint of your pinky with the fingernail on it.
Yep.
That top joint of a pinky. Take about that much ginger.
Oh, phew.
What?
I thought you ate your pinky. I thought you drank your
pinky.
Gingerly sure remove.
Yeah, I'm sure that could very easily happen in a Vitamix. But take about that much ginger, throw it in there, dry, set it to like 4 or something, or just let it chop super, super fine. Throw in a splash of – I've been throwing in a splash of half and half and a banana. Then process that so it's super smooth, and then throw in like a cup of ice. And you will make a ginger ice cream – that'd blow your fucking mind.
Boom. Just like the ginger root, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would throw like half a ginger root into my drinks with a Vitamix. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm down with the ginger. That sounds good, man. So dessert, go from all the way from breakfast to dessert with this thing.
Yeah, you can make a juice for breakfast, smoothies, you can make desserts, you can make you can even make hot soups in it.
Yeah, that's the thing I think I'm going to look forward to. Make a big ass bucket of soup, freeze half of it, and start stockpiling for the apocalypse.
I'll be honest, like I only tried making a hot soup once and it didn't appeal to me as much because in order to get it that hot, you're just processing for like 5 minutes. So it comes out as just one solid texture, whereas the thing that appeals to me about soups is I like having stuff in my soup. You know, here's a chunk of a potato instead of here's potato completely blended into this liquid. But I think it would be good for making soup bases.
Hey, have we stumbled into the sink kitchen? Or the kitchen sink?
I believe so,
Is this a new segment?
Is it?
It turns into a synchronicity cooking show as well. I like that. So, to jump subject a little.
Yeah, 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 please.
Charlie's Theron thing was great. I like how you threw in the dinosaurs attack into that. So for the last, I don't know how many weeks, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. Every time I sit down, I got a few dinosaur attack cards surrounding me, but there's one. It's just by a coincidence. I have two that are side by side on my desk that ended up here. That's one is the second card of the series. It says "Experiment in Space" and basically has these two ships approaching the satellite that is very, very much reminiscent of the space station in 2001: A Space Odyssey. But then that is Prometheus. Because you can see in this other card, in card 53 that I also have in my hand, is Prometheus explodes, and it's one of the ships running, like, flying away.
On card number 2, just flip it over, read the back. It says, right there on card number 2, it's a
set for demonstration.
Yeah, and it says, It's like written as like a newspaper article, and it says 30 delegates from the United Nations are on their way to the space station Prometheus for a time experiment.
Yep. So it's totally 2001. This is a really synchronistic series in general. It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I could have played up the idea. I didn't want people to misunderstand what I meant, but it's all over those cards. There are references to reptilians when he talks about, like, he gets visited by some like futuristic reptilian space alien that comes to him and tells him what he needs to do to fight the evil reptilian. It's just, it's weird. And I talk about that, but I don't really, I'm not into the reptilian thing. This could just take it in a whole other direction, so.
Uh-huh.
But it's a fascinating, it's a weird little oracle for sure.
Yeah. I'm bummed right now because I'm looking at it and it's all rights reserved, so I can't download the images because they're high-res images of the cards. I use them for collage, but that's okay.
Yeah. On the blog post I did, there's a link to a set.
That's what I'm talking about.
I just did screen grabs.
Oh, you clicked it? What do you mean?
You can't like right click and save as, but you can do a screen capture.
Right, which isn't as good a quality. That's sure. That doesn't work as well for me. But anyway,
I'm sure if you looked, there's other sites that had. I found a few.
Yeah, I looked at one point for the first card where it says Dinosaurs Attack, where he's got the fucking Earth in his hands with blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'm after, and I mean I could look again, but I looked around for a larger copy of it. I couldn't find one, but whatever. That's
I have no connection to this card set. Was this like a big deal, or was it just?
It was pretty damn popular.
Like, what year are we talking?
I was a little kid. I mean, this is the 80s. So. Yeah,
this is post-Garbage Pail Kids. This is when kids graduated from Garbage Pail Kids and got into more gory something else, but around the same time.
A little more visceral. Kind
yeah.
of. Yeah, because I was there for the Garbage Pail thing, which was pretty epic, the amount of money spent on those fucking stickers.
Yeah.
And the shitty gum.
Yeah, this is, right? This is how the whole thing started. Melissa and I went to a pizzeria where your table markers, like you order your food and you sit anywhere you want, but they give you a giant Garbage Pail Kid card so that you take that to your table and then, okay, you know, that's how the waiter knows which table to bring it to. Is so, you know, what I forget what the fuck we got. We got like a little vampire kid. So like Melissa had no idea what a Garbage Pail Kid was. We were talking about this and I explained the whole thing. And then I said, well, I somehow related it to trying to explain Dinosaurs Attack. And when I finally went home and like looked it up, it just all fell into place. Like, oh my God, really?
Yeah, that would be spooky. That first image with the space station.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing to me that when I looked over those cards, like how ingrained in my subconscious they must have been, because I recognize every one of those images. Like, it was in there. Like, I said, like, oh, yeah, 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 okay.
Yeah, they're ingrained in mine. I can visualize any. If someone mentions what the card is, I can visualize it. Like, it's in there. And I remember bringing them to my grandpa when I was a little kid and having him read the backs of them to me, like, before I was really able to read, like, well.
Okay, well, here's one for your Lucifer Rising. This weird combination between Venus and Mercury that seems to be dominating this conversation is what about the fact that can you picture the Statue of Liberty card where you have that aquatic kind of like, I don't know, like Loch Ness Monster? I forget what that dinosaur is called.
All twisted around it, yeah.
Exactly. So it is the Statue of Liberty, but an Isis made of copper, right? So she is this Luciferian Isis surrounded by the serpent, entwined with the serpent.
She's made of copper. That's yeah. right. Wow, that's fucked up.
And there she is holding the torch. So she's the light bringer, the light bearer.
Sure. Wow, I didn't even... Wow, that's crazy. And she's Venus. That's really interesting. So Scott Onslaught shows the 7-11 ratio being symbolically represented in her with her base, meaning what is it, her height, or is it her rays, or what it is? But
she has, I think, a 7-star base and an 11-pointed star as the base and 7 rays in her crown, or vice versa. But I think it's 11 on the bottom and 7 on the top.
Which he connects that it resonates with the 7-by-11 ratio of the Great Pyramid, which is then, I mean, it's really interesting being that, you know, just on a synchronistic and mundane level, that 7-11, the red 7 runs through the green Eve. So, like, 11 has Eve in it, and Eve is in the 7. So there's an interesting thing in terms of, like, looking at the way that Eve is taken as, like, her relationship with the serpent is, like, the serpent is literally wrapped around the tree, right? I mean, that's the way that it's represented, not necessarily in the Torah, but in like the Michelangelo painting and all over the place, people like that idea. And it's symbolic, of course, of the, you know, of Da'at. But I think it's interesting then that you have this serpent that's wrapped around basically Eve's character. If you look at like, you know, just the feminine, you know, reproduction of this thing, you know, like what it is that, like, there's the idea that's expressed in psychology in terms of Eve. I saw this in a couple of places, but James Hillman likes to talk about it. He was a student of Jung, that that's symbolic of the subconscious in general. So you could look at the subconscious is what first receives the knowledge of, well, the Da'at, and so from the serpent. And so for the serpent then to be wrapped around that, it, to be coiled around the figure herself, and then she's basically sacrificing herself for the evolution, because his whole thing is you'll become as gods. And so that I'm just acknowledging that that's really an interesting connection through dinosaurs attack. Also that the Great Pyramid is then often represented as the power structure with the light at the top descending through the levels. And so there you have like another version of the Tree of Life as the Tree of Knowledge. It's trippy.
Now, what about, I mean, we could keep running with this, is I know we wanted to get into NSA stuff and there's a few other things, but what about the fact that this whole dinosaur's attack is basically an update or spin-off or whatever you want to call it of the Mars Attack cards? Basically, this is made by Topps. They had the success of Mars Attack, and they decided, hey, let's do something else like that. And they, to play off that, that's why it's called Dinosaurs Attack. It's made by the same company, and they wanted to make it in a similar style. So here we have Mars is essentially being represented in the Dinosaurs Attack cards, if you follow my logic there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this idea of the classic marriage of Venus and Mars. You can almost have the, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and then what do you get when you put them together but the hermaphroditic Mercury?